ಗೋಪಿಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ
ಶ್ಲೋಕ 16 ರಿಪಿಟೇಷನ್ ಆಗ್ತಿರೋದು
ದೇಹೇಂದ್ರಿಯ ಪ್ರಾಣ ಮನೋಭಿಮಾನೋ ಜೀವೋಂತರಾತ್ಮ ಗುಣಕರ್ಮ ಮೂರ್ತಿ ಸೂತ್ರಂ ಮಹಾನಿತ್ಯುರುದೇವ ಗೀತಃ ಸಂಸಾರ ಆಧಾವತಿ ಕಾಲತಂತ್ರಃ ದೇಹೇಂದ್ರಿಯ ಪ್ರಾಣ ಮನೋಭಿಮಾನೋ ಜೀವೋಂತರಾತ್ಮ ಗುಣಕರ್ಮ ಮೂರ್ತಿ ಸೂತ್ರ ಮಹಾನಿತ್ಯುರುದೇವ ಗೀತಃ ಸಂಸಾರ ಆಧಾವತಿ ಕಾಲತಂತ್ರಃ ದೇಹೇಂದ್ರಿಯ ಪ್ರಾಣ ಮನೋಭಿಮಾನೋ ಜೀವೋಂತರಾತ್ಮ ಗುಣಕರ್ಮ ಮೂರ್ತಿ ಸೂತ್ರ ಮಹಾನಿತ್ಯುರುದೇವ ಗೀತಃ ಸಂಸಾರ ಆಧಾವತಿ ಕಾಲತಂತ್ರಃ ದೇಹೇಂದ್ರಿಯ ಪ್ರಾಣ ಮನೋಭಿಮಾನೋ ಜೀವೋಂತರಾತ್ಮ ಗುಣಕರ್ಮ ಮೂರ್ತಿ ಸೂತ್ರ ಮಹಾನಿತ್ಯುರುದೇವ ಗೀತಃ ಸಂಸಾರಾಧಾವತಿ ಕಾಲತಂತ್ರಃ ದೇಹೇಂದ್ರಿಯ ಪ್ರಾಣ ಮನೋಭಿಮಾನೋ ಸೂತ್ರಂ ಮಹಾನಿತ್ಯುರುದೇವ ಗೀತಃ ಸಂಸಾರಾಧಾವತಿ ಕಾಲತಂತ್ರಃ
Translation, word to word meaning, Deha, with the material body, Indriya, senses, Prana, life air, Manaha, and mind, Abhimanaha, who is falsely identifying, Jeevaha, the living entity, Antaha, situated within, Atma, the soul, guna, according to his material qualities, karma and work, murtihi, assuming his form, sutra, the sutra tattva, mahan, the original form of material nature. Iti, thus, urudha, in many different ways. Iva, indeed, Gitaha, described, samsari, in material life. Adhavati, he runs about, kala, of time. Tantraha, under the strict control. Translation and purport by the humble disciples of Prabhupada. Translation: the living entity who falsely identifies with his body, senses, life air and mind, and who dwells within these coverings, assumes the form of his own materially conditioned qualities and work. He is designated variously in relation to the total material energy, and thus, under the strict control of supreme time, he is forced to run here and there within material existence. Purport. False ego, which causes a living entity to suffer material existence, is here described in detail as the illusory identification with the material body, senses, life air and mind. The word kala refers directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who imposes the limiting segments of time upon the conditioned souls, keeping them tightly bound under the laws of nature. Liberation is not an impersonal experience. Liberation is attainment of one's eternal body, senses, mind and intelligence in the association of the Personality of Godhead. We can revive our eternal liberated personality free from the contamination of false ego by dedicating ourselves to the loving service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. When the pure spirit soul accepts the false ego, he must undergo material suffering. One automatically conquers the false ego by accepting oneself in pure Krishna consciousness to be the eternal servant of Lord Krishna. Amajnana dhimirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuranvilitham yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam sthapitam yena bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tvam Sajivam Sadhvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Dalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Varuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyamadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So in this particular verse, it speaks about how the living entity is stuck within material existence because of false identification with the body, with the senses. So, and it also says, he is forced to run here and there within material existence. So the living entity is traveling through the various species of life throughout material existence, birth after birth. Similar description of the plight of the living entity is given in the fourth kind of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the story of Puranjan. Right? So it is described that Puranjan, actually it's an allegorical story. Puranjan is a living entity. So Puranjan, he is traveling, it is described. He is traveling for a place where he can actually find happiness. In search for happiness, Puranjan is traveling. And finally, he finds a kingdom with 9 gates, it is described. And the kingdom with 9 gates represents the body. And then it is described how this Puranjan, within this city of 9 gates, one day he comes across a beautiful young lady. And then he gets married to her. So Puranjan is the king of the city and this lady becomes the queen. So the acharyas describe that this queen represents the intelligence. Right? So Puranjan, having married to this queen, he is completely controlled by this queen now. The queen treats Puranjan like somebody treats a pet animal. Whatever she tells him to do, he does. So that's how the conditioned soul follows the material intelligence. And this material intelligence becomes a cause of bondage. Right? So in that particular purport, in that episode, Srila Prabhupada writes, the conclusion is that material intelligence is a cause of bondage for the living entity. The point is that one has to take to spiritual intelligence to come out of this entanglement. The material intelligence gives ideas. You might have failed in enjoying material life in this way. Try another. Material intelligence gives ideas for enjoyment. So as long as we are under the grip of material intelligence, we are stuck in material existence and we have to transmigrate within the material world. So Prabhupada is making the point here that one has to take to spiritual intelligence. So when the intelligence is used for understanding how to enjoy material life, that is material intelligence. And when the intelligence is utilized to understand how to serve Krishna, that is spiritual intelligence. So the intelligence has to be transformed from material to spiritual. So the intelligence has to be transferred from material to spiritual using the intelligence. In the third canto of the Bhagavatam, in the teachings of Lord Kapila, this particular verse comes. Samshayo atha viparyaso nischaya smritirevacha. Which describes the characteristics of intelligence. And one of the characteristics of intelligence is, the first characteristic of intelligence is samshaya, to doubt. So when the living entity doubts his position in material existence, doubts the promises given by Maya for enjoyment within this material world, then his spiritual life begins. And in that particular purport, Prabhupada makes this point. The study to determine whether one's identity is spiritual or material begins in doubt. So unless a person utilizes his faculty of intelligence of doubting material existence, there is no chance of turning to spiritual life. So using our intelligence, using this faculty of doubt, we should make this transition from material to spiritual. But then, in the very same purport, Prabhupada makes one more interesting point. And what is that? But doubting is not very favorable when information is received from the proper source. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that doubting the words of authority is a cause of destruction. So we are supposed to doubt the promises of Maya, but we are supposed to put faith in the promises of Krishna. So we doubt, at the same time we put faith. We are advised to doubt on one hand, and at the same time we are advised to not doubt. Life is not easy, isn't it? Simultaneously. Now for most people, at least in the modern day world, doubting is relatively easy. Putting simple faith is a challenge. Isn't it? So, to actually get out of material existence, we should doubt, at the same time, put faith. If we doubt even spiritual life, then there is no chance of making spiritual advancement. So we need to train ourselves in the principle of putting faith. Gaur Govind Maharaj, he makes this very important point that what enables us to put faith? He says the quality that enables one to put faith is saralata or simplicity. Somebody who is simple in heart can put faith. And as per my observation, he was one person who emphasized this principle of simplicity more than anybody else, especially because of the circumstances under which he was preaching. So what is this simplicity, the quality of simplicity which enables us to put faith, full faith, simple faith, complete faith in the scriptures by which we can make spiritual advancement? Now if you see, all the acharyas, they have emphasized on this point of simplicity. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, saralata hi vaishnavata. Simplicity is another name for Vaishnavism, he said. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he said regarding simplicity, the most desirable things in bhajan are determination and simplicity. If we want to do good bhajan, then we have to imbibe these two qualities, determination and simplicity. Simplicity of the mind. Now simplicity can refer to simplicity of the lifestyle also, but here the emphasis is on simplicity of the mind. And even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught four important Vaishnava principles through four of his principal associates. Through Haridas Thakur, he taught the world the principle of tolerance. Through Sanatan Goswami, the principle of humility. Through Ramanand Rai, the principle of sense control, and through Damodar Pandit, the principle of Saralata or simplicity. It is one of the cardinal principles of Vaishnavism, this principle of simplicity. In the Journey Home book, Radhana Swami Maharaj, he tells a story that prior to accepting Prabhupada as his spiritual master, he was staying in the Gaudiya Math. So there, he says that one Westerner by the name David, he was visiting there. At the same time, three or four devotees from East Bengal were also visiting from Bangladesh. And one of those persons was a person by the name Jagannath. So, this Jagannath and his friends from Bangladesh, they saw that this David from the United States, he was having a camera. So, they have not seen camera. This is in the 60s. They said, please, click a photograph of ours. So, they posed for a photograph for David to click the photo. And Radhanath Maharaj was with David. And David, he confided that, I got one last reel, one last film left in this particular camera. So I want to save it for some important shot. What is to be done now? So it was decided that we'll just make a sound as a click. And they will feel that the photograph is being taken. And anyway, these are not days of digital camera where you instantly show the photograph. For the film to get ready, it takes months maybe. So you just act as if you have taken the photograph. And they acted in that way. And, forgot about it. But the next day, when Maharaj went to meet Jagannath, they were good friends. By this time, they had made good friends with each other. And he saw that Jagannath was crying, standing in a corner. And he asked the other people from Bangladesh, why is he crying? Is he in some kind of distress? And they explained that you are responsible for all this. How can you do that? Act as if you are clicking and actually not taking the photograph at all. And Maharaj went to Jagannath and asked for forgiveness. And he said that duplicity is a terrible disease. Duplicity is not Vaishnavism. You won't be able to understand it. I trusted you as a Vaishnav. I'm crying for you, seeing that you have this quality. And it's sheer humility that Maharaj has put it in his autobiography. Now, when I read this for the first time, I felt, this is like overreaction. Isn't it? It's okay, you just clicked a photograph, acted as if it's not a big deal, they're not trying to kill you or something. You're not trying to steal your money or something. It's just a small thing. But then, in the Journey Home, Maharaj himself gives a purport to this, saying that devotional culture is very deep. Devotional culture helps to foster the tender creeper of bhakti yoga. So in a Vaishnava society, actual Vaishnava society, this principle of Saralatha, simplicity, is held at very high esteem. And Maharaj makes this point that in the Western culture, such a small transgression won't be even noticed. That's the difference between Vaishnava culture and modern culture. Now, what is this simplicity? Saralata. Simplicity means childlike simplicity. Children are simple, naturally. Some time ago, I was going for a program here in South Bombay. So I couldn't get a mridanga player. So I took with me a school-going kid who plays very nice mridanga. So he played the mridanga. I gave a talk, led some kirtan. And we're returning by BMW. So when he sat in the BMW, he was looking all around with big, big eyes. And then he told me, Prabhuji, main pehli baar luxury car mein baith raha hoon. Loudly is proclaiming. Now, I was also sitting in a BMW for the first time. But then I was keeping my mouth shut and I was acting as if I sit every day. Very normal. Isn't it? That's the difference. He is simple and I am crooked actually. Right now, crooked and duplicity is very harsh way of saying that you are not simple. More sophisticated way of saying is diplomatic. Or better still word is smart. Huh? Very smart. But it's all same thing. Crookedness. So this boy, what he thought reflected immediately in his words and in action. Thought, words, action. Same line. That is simplicity. But when we think something, but we speak something else, and act in some other way, that is duplicity. Isn't it? Now, as I was telling, modern world is predominantly about duplicity. See, products. Companies, many times, they proclaim that they have started the company to help the world. Is it really? Or is it to make profit? But it's a modern day trend that even though you want to make money, want to whatever selfish interest you have, your branding is you are helping people. It's all founded on the principle of duplicity. Even in day-to-day life, person might be going through lot of misery, trouble, everything, but he'll put up a show as if he's doing great in life. He's very happy in life. Isn't it? Anything you see in the modern day world, it's all based on the principle of duplicity. There is no simplicity in the modern day world that can be found. And that's why there's so much of stress, so much of anxiety. Because so much of effort goes into hiding your true state of mind. There is so much of fear of being exposed. Because you're trying to hide what you're thinking. There is no simplicity. You're thinking one thing, acting in some other way, speaking some other thing. So much stress, so much of anxiety. And so, a lot of sane people in the modern day world, they advocate straightforwardness. Isn't it? Be straightforward. There is this word called authenticity. But this authenticity that we hear in the modern day world is different from simplicity or saralata as is told in Vaishnavism. What is the difference? First I'll explain what is authenticity or straightforwardness. Now, you know, yesterday, our Rasika Acharya Prabhu, he came to stay with me in my room. We are sharing rooms now because the rooms on top of Govinda got closed down, shut down. So he's coming and staying with me in my room. So suppose his alarm goes off at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I go to him and tell, Prabhu, I didn't want you to be with me, but it has been forced upon me. Now please cooperate. Now, this is straightforwardness. Right? What I am thinking, I am expressing in words. Now, this is good in one sense because at least it relieves us of stress and anxiety. Be straightforward and clear off. So the mantra behind authenticity or straightforwardness is be true to yourself. But the mantra behind saralata, behind simplicity is be true to the words of God. Be true to the principles set forth by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So the same scenario. If I am trying to follow the principles of saralata or simplicity, I will tell him, Prabhu, I am grateful that I am getting opportunity to serve you. But please let us cooperate. Isn't it? Now the point is, if I am simply speaking this, but in my mind I am thinking that kyun aa gaya ye mere paas yahan pe, then that is duplicity. That is kapatya. So saralata means we speak and act as per the direction of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, and we strive to think also in the same way. But if you are simply acting and speaking as per Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, but thinking otherwise, that is kapatya. That is duplicity. That is crookedness. So what the scriptures and what the acharyas are telling us is strive for this principle of simplicity wherein you don't just speak and act as per the injunction of the shastras, but also your thought process should be in the same line. So when we are following the principle of simplicity, what happens? Our consciousness is raised because we are striving to be in line with the principles given by the Shastras, Guru and God. But when we are following the principle of authenticity, we remain in the same level of consciousness because we are simply trying to be true to oneself. Right? There is no elevation of consciousness. This is a very important thing to understand. So this is simplicity. Now, the next question is, why do we deviate from the principle of simplicity? Why do we deviate from the principle of saralata? The first reason, obviously, is sense gratification. When we want something, some sense gratification, then we act in a duplicitous way. We act in a crooked way. I'll give the example. Just 2 days ago, Bratchandra Prabhu was reading biography of Srila Prabhupada during prasadam time, lunch. And he came across a particular word. Zealots. Zealots. Right? So what he did, there was obviously an unknown word for him, for me also. So he read that word, but then he spelt it out so that if you are able to understand it. Now if I were in his position, I would have quickly gone through it, or else maybe have skipped the sentence also. You can do it. Why will I do it? That is duplicity. Why will I do it? Because if people understand that I don't know this word, then I lose my reputation as a person who has command over the English language. So, pratishta. When we are looking for pratishta, then there cannot be saralata. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he makes this point that pratishta is a chandali. Chandali. Okay. So, pratishta is a chandali. And this kapatya is after this chandali called pratishta. So as long as desire for pratishta is within the heart, kapatya is going to stay within the heart only. Only when we throw this chandali of pratishta out of the heart, will the paramour, kapatya, leave the heart. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives his explanation. Very important. So first reason why we tend to act in a duplicitous way is because of desire for pratishta, desire for sense gratification. Second reason is for devotional service. Because Prabhupada said, right, great souls cheat for a great cause. So we act in a crooked way, duplicitous way, diplomatic way, smart way, for devotional service. But then, the thing that needs to be understood is, great souls cheat for a great cause. For a great cause has to be highlighted. But what we tend to do is, great souls cheat is in the highlights. For a great cause goes into the background. Now, of course, especially when we are dealing with the outside world, we have to act diplomatically. And sometimes, even within the institution, for management, we might have to act in a diplomatic way. But the point is it done purely for the service of the Lord? Usually, it's mixed. It's like, you did something in a diplomatic way, and what you did was of tremendous service to Krishna. And you are feeling very happy. So, are we feeling happy because Krishna's will is done, or we are feeling partly happy thinking how smart I am? Sometimes you are feeling happy thinking how smart I am also. So it is not pure. So we might act in diplomatic ways many times in the name of service. It could be from up to down or from down to up also. Right? So you want to act diplomatically with your authorities in management just so that you can peacefully perform devotional service. That could be the reason. But there could be a mixed motive also. We have to be very careful. Because as long as there is a mixed motivation. Now when the pure souls act diplomatically, their intention is absolutely pure for the pleasure of Krishna. But when we act diplomatically, it could be for the service of Krishna. But we have to understand and we have to accept that there is adulteration there. There is also sense gratification mixed with service while acting diplomatically. And because it's mixed, we have to refrain from diplomacy as much as possible. We can't freely indulge in it because it's mixed, it's not pure. If it is pure, then it's all pure devotional service. But as long as it is mixed, we are going to get implicated by this contamination of kapatya. So we should think whether it is really required to be diplomatic in this situation. Is it really important? And only if it is absolutely necessary, employ it. If we use diplomacy indiscriminately, then what happens? It becomes a habit. It becomes second nature. Now at the level of an institution, if there is too much of diplomacy, then trust declines. And when trust declines, it becomes very difficult. People are no longer trusting each other. Things become very difficult. For example, now trust is very important in an institution level. Now for example, when I have some issues and I want to let it out, I go to Radha Gopinath Prabhu and I express to him. And when I am speaking to him, I am 100% sure that he is playing the role of my well-wisher. It is not that externally he is acting as my well-wisher, but internally he is thinking like a manager. Now if he is internally thinking like a manager and externally acting as my well-wisher, then what happens? I won't have trust in him. So, out of his infinite wisdom, Maharaj has made the LC body in our temple free from all management. So when there is diplomacy, there cannot be trust. And it's a very unhealthy situation for an institution. And even for our individual spiritual advancement, kapatya is a big enemy. How is that? First of all, if you are always diplomatic, if you are always complex, crooked in our ways and dealings, there are good chance of committing offenses actually. It's a very offensive mentality. Kapatya is a very offensive mentality. That's the first thing. Secondly, when we are duplicitous, we are in stress, anxiety. We cannot be peaceful. When there is kapatya in the mind, there cannot be peace. Because you are always worrying, thinking, because you have something to hide. There cannot be peace. And without peace, you cannot perform devotional service properly. Peace is very important. Peace of mind is very important to perform devotional service. Nasti buddhir ayuktasya na cha ayuktasya bhavana na cha bhavayata shantir ashantasya kutas sukham. We cannot perform devotional service peacefully. This is the second thing. And the third thing, very important, is as long as there is kapatya in our mind, it is very difficult to put simple faith in the scriptures. Very difficult to put simple faith in the scriptures. Now a child is simple. So a child is there. You don't know the child. He is there in the temple. And you take a laddu, maybe Sankirtan Prabhu's laddu, and you show it to the child. The child will come to you, take the laddu with a smile on his face and eat it. He is able to put simple faith. Even to in a stranger, an unknown person, the person giving the laddu might have some crooked motivation. But the child is able to put simple faith. Why? Because small children, when they are small, their thought, the way they function is, what they think, they speak. And then they do. So when that is how your system functions, you feel the whole world functions in the same way. So the child is simple, so the child feels the whole world is simple. The world is a reflection of your own consciousness. So if we are crooked, if we have kapatya within us, our mentality will be, we will feel the whole world is crooked. The person in front of us might be extremely simple and straightforward, but still we will find some, we will feel that there is something there here. Kuch to gadbad hai. You will see gadbad where there is no gadbad, because the gadbad is inside. So, even in the society of devotees, we will see duplicity, politics, where there is none. And then we will find it difficult to put faith in the devotees first. Then we will find it difficult to put faith in the guru. And then we will find it difficult to put faith in the shastras, in Krishna. Because the tendency is to doubt everything now. You cannot put simple faith. And unless you are able to put simple faith, that is the beginning, Adav Shraddha. Then Sadhu Sangha will be effective. Then Bhajana Kriya will be effective, and then we make progress. If there is problem with Adav Shraddha only, in the beginning only, we have difficulty putting simple faith, then how will we go ahead? So in order to actually put simple faith, it's extremely important to become free from this principle of kapatya. I remember when I was very small, I was also very simple, for your information. You might be surprised to hear this. So, so somebody had come to our home, and my mother came to know that somebody has come, and she didn't want to meet them. Something like this. And she told me that, you know, go and tell that I am not there. So I went and told, Mummy has told that she is not there. And I distinctly remember this because I was quite grown up. See, nowadays, even small children are crooked. They lose simplicity very fast because of the modern educational system. Somehow the modern educational system destroys your saralata very fast. And the parents are thinking, my son is becoming very smart. That is the irony of the modern world. That is the irony of the modern civilization. Anyways, especially for devotional life, it becomes a big trouble. If we are not able to put simple faith, we can't make any spiritual progress. One more problem with kapatya is, once kapatya becomes your second nature, your habit, then what happens? Then we are acting as a devotee, we are speaking pure devotional service, but within the heart, we don't really believe in what the scriptures say. And because kapatya is our habit, we are comfortable like that. You getting my point? We are comfortable leading a duplicitous life even in devotional service. We pass decades and decades and decades, a lifetime, following the process of sadhana bhakti. Externally devotee, internally non-devotee. And we are comfortable doing it also, because duplicity is your nature. But if you are actually simple, if you are actually cultivating the principle of saralata, if you are actually cultivating the principle of simplicity, then we will become uncomfortable when we see ourselves, when we see that I am acting like a devotee and I am speaking like a pure devotee, but I'm not thinking like a pure devotee. We'll feel uncomfortable if you're actually simple. And that discomfort will be an impetus to actually call out for Krishna with desperation. Krishna, please help me. Chaitanya Prabhu, Mosama Patita Prabhu, Na Paive Aar. I am such a crooked fellow. Please help me. Save me. We can cry. Because we can actually accept and realize and acknowledge that we are patita. So, patitya can be, you know, resolved. There is a solution for Patitya in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, but there is no solution for Kapatya. Because person who has Kapatya doesn't cry out because he is comfortable. He doesn't even realize there is a problem. Because that is a way of life. Having duplicity, having crookedness. So you act as a devotee, you speak like a devotee, but internally non-devotee. Makes no difference. Cool. Everything is going on smoothly. But the problem is we go nowhere. We go nowhere in the process of devotional service. So if we are following the principle of simplicity, striving for simplicity, we can actually cry out to Krishna for real faith, for real belief. And then Krishna will help us. Right? Now, I was telling that Gaur Govind Maharaj, he emphasized this principle of simplicity in a very strong way. Especially because when he was preaching, especially in the Western world, a lot of gurus had problems and they had deviated from the principles of Krishna consciousness. And the people who are left, they were finding it difficult to put faith anymore. So Gaur Govind Maharaj used to stress this point. If you become simple, you can put faith. And then he says that people will say, if we are simple, then we'll get cheated. So first of all he says, and they say that because we are simple in the past, we got cheated. So we don't want to be simple again. We'll get cheated again. So Maharaj makes the point that you were never simple in the first place. Even back then you were never simple. That is a thing that you need to realize. Because if you are actually simple, we'll put simple faith in Krishna. And when you put simple faith in Krishna, Krishna gives us His full protection. And once Krishna gives us His full protection, then there is no power in the world that can harm us. So how can anybody cheat us when Krishna is protecting us? He gives the example of Jadabharat. Jadabharat was extremely simple. And because he was simple, he was putting complete faith in Krishna. And because he was putting complete faith in Krishna, even the dacoits took him and tried to slaughter him. And he followed his principle of simplicity only. He continued to be simple. He didn't become crooked just because the dacoits were crooked. And because he was genuinely simple from the heart, Krishna protected him. Kali thought that, you know, such a nice devotee, the devotee of my master is here. These fellows are trying to kill him. So she himself came out of the statue and killed all the dacoits. So, irrespective of time, place or circumstances that we are in, Vaishnava principles are always relevant. It's not just because we are living in a duplicitous world, doesn't make the principle of simplicity irrelevant. Vaishnava principles are eternal. And if we actually follow them, that is the way of achieving success in spiritual life. There is no other way. There is no other way. It's a cardinal principle. One of the most important principles that Mahaprabhu set for all of his followers. There is no excuse saying that the world is duplicitous today, so I will forego the principle of simplicity. No. It won't work. If we actually follow the principles of simplicity, put simple faith, Krishna will protect us. It's a fact. And so, we doubt the promises of material existence and we put simple faith in the principles of Krishna consciousness. And that is the way of making progress in spiritual life and to get out of material existence. So, Actually, today's class, I'm speaking for myself. So thank you very much for... So all of you, please pray that I'll become simple. So that I can also make some spiritual progress. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you for making such a complex subject so simple. Explain it nicely. So you mentioned that Damodar was the representation of Saralta. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him that. But we see from Chaitanya Charitamrita that Damodar Pandit was also a person who was very straightforward, even to the extent of so-called criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on various occasions. And from if one were to apply that principle in one's life and say that it's good to be straightforward, we become simple like that. So we are looked upon as simple. But sometimes what happens is that particularly in an institution, we can't afford to be straightforward, because Damodar Pandit was straightforward towards pure devotees. He was also straightforward towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everything was looked upon as fine. But in an institution which is made up of individuals who are practicing Krishna consciousness at various levels, then if you are straightforward, then it is looked upon as being different from others. You know, when others are humble and, you know, straightforwardness is looked upon as a virtue of non-humility rather than, you know, simplicity. So how does one then, you know, try to align this contradiction, particularly in an institution like ours? Now, we all want to be simple, we all want to be straightforward, but there are so many times that we are required to be diplomatic because we feel that, you know, it will not be looked upon proper to be straightforward. It will affect the other person very badly, so we should not be, you know, straightforward. Things like that.
See, that's why I use this example of the difference between straightforwardness and simplicity. Straightforwardness or authenticity, as I said, and simplicity. Now, just being straightforward, that's how most Westerners are. Just blunt on the face, and they are impolite many times. That is, they are simply trying to be true to themselves. You know, words, thought, words and actions are in the same line. Right? But that's not Vaishnavism. Vaishnavism means we are true to the words of the scriptures, true to the principles of Vaishnavism. And one of the principles of Vaishnavism is also humility. So, keeping all the Vaishnava principles in mind, how to act, speak and think. This is the principle. See, the problem is most of the times, because we are living in a Vaishnava society, Vaishnava culture, we cannot get away acting and speaking otherwise. Because we are living in a Vaishnava society, we have to act humble, we have to speak in a humble way. We have to do it because we are living in a Vaishnava society. But then the challenge is to start thinking in the same way. Being humble even in thought. So the principle of saralata or simplicity is about adjusting our internal environment as per the external expectations of a Vaishnava society. So the external expectation of a Vaishnava society is we have to be humble, you have to be humble, you have to be tolerant, you have to be gentle and all these principles. So we try to imbibe all those qualities internally so that our thought, words and action are in sync. They are in line. It's not the other way around. You know, I'm not getting your question wrong. I'm understanding your question properly only. So the principle of straightforwardness is as is depicted in the outside world is different from the principle of simplicity as is given in the Vaishnava scriptures, actually. And sometimes you have to be diplomatic, as you rightly said. People coming at different levels. So we have to be run an institution. But then the point is, we have to be very, very cautious. Is it really necessary? Because many times that becomes second nature. Person whom we are dealing with may not need that level of diplomacy to deal with. Unnecessarily, we are bringing in diplomacy there and acting in a diplomatic way. Maybe in a straightforward way, if you tell that fellow, he will listen. Because many times when that becomes a norm, when duplicity becomes a norm, when diplomacy becomes a norm, we tend to superimpose in those places where it is not necessary also. And even then, even when it is done for service, it has to be done under the supervision of senior Vaishnavas. Because we are doing something which is not recommended. So we have to be strictly under higher authority. Like in the Varnashrama system, the entire system had, most of the people in the system had the luxury of remaining simple. Brahmanas, Arjavam, simplicity. Vaishyas were more or less simple. Prabhupada says Nanda Maharaj was simple, Vaishya. Kshatriyas had to be diplomatic. But then the Kshatriyas put themselves directly, submissively under the Brahmanas. Necessary. Because you are deviating from the principle of simplicity, you have to be cautious, you have to be under vigilance, under guidance. And even in the Mahabharata, whenever Yudhishthira acts in a diplomatic way, he is doing it under the direction of Krishna only. That is pure devotional service. When it is done under the direction of Krishna and his representatives. Otherwise, diplomacy is not the way of life. Thank you, Guru. Yes. Maybe we'll take the question later. Grandra Ashmad Bhagavatam ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.